Words on Water. This episode is brought to you by Esri. Esri, the global market leader in geographic information systems, offers the most powerful mapping and spatial analytics technology available. Since 1969, Esri has helped customers use the science of where to unlock the full potential of data to improve operational and business results. Today, Esri software is deployed in more than 350,000 organizations, including the world's largest cities, most national governments, 75% of the Fortune 500, and more than 7,000 colleges and universities. Esri engineers the most advanced solutions for digital transformation, IoT, and location analytics to create the maps that run the world. Visit them online at esri.com/news.
Hi, welcome to Words on Water, a podcast from the Water Environment Federation. This is Travis Loop, the host. Very excited for this episode. Throughout my career in water, I've definitely worked with a lot of Esri platforms and products and understand their importance to the sector. So I'm very glad to be joined by David Watchell. He is the director of Esri's Global Water Practice. David, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, Travis. Thank you for having me today.
Absolutely. So for listeners, could you just briefly kind of describe what Esri's Global Water Practice does?
Sure. We are an industry sector within Esri comprised of about 30 individuals that support our water utility and water resources customers around the world. Our aim is really to provide valuable GIS solutions that solve real business problems in the industry.
So I'm interested to hear from you what you see as kind of the big challenges and trends in the industry as far as your work with utilities and others. What's going on out there right now?
Sure, Travis. So the issues have really been the same for years in the water industry, and the State of the Water Industry Report does a really good job identifying and ranking these every year. Right, they're the traditional renew and replacement of infrastructure, the financing for capital improvements, long-term water supply availability, onto aging workforce, and others. And these haven't really changed over the years. They're, you start to see things like customer transparency and those types of more trendy things start to come up on the list of priorities. And so that's not changing a lot, but the mega trend that I'm seeing that I believe gives us hope in helping to solve these, I'd say, decade-old industry challenges is the trend of digital transformation, or sometimes you'll see that as the digitization of water. With digital transformation comes more and more physical objects, now complemented by the digital twin, the digital twin being a virtual mirror image about the objects, the behavior, the performance, and the location of those objects in real time and across its life cycle. So digital transformation will provide the industry with a foundation to better integrate systems, connect to the IoT, and conduct better, faster, less expensive analysis.
Yeah, that's interesting, this idea of a digital twin. Could you elaborate on that a little bit and what that looks like and how commonplace it is becoming?
Absolutely. So when you think about the digital twin of water and how it relates to things like IoT, it's also comprised of all the connections, right? The physical connections between the traditional objects or devices that connect the IoT with the actual network itself. So these connections are made, managed, and modeled by intelligent GIS systems. These networks, right, modeled by the digital twin, are critical because those analyzing IoT data, for example, must understand the influence, the control, the barriers, as well as the environments around them to make holistic, definitive decisions. So without the fundamental aspect of location and those locations being connected with the operational network of a water utility, critical context can really be lacking. So let me give you just like one really simple example.
Sure.
So there's a large regional wastewater utility that has deployed flow monitoring devices in their manholes. So these sensors will tell them when they have a harmful contaminant that's present at a given location at a manhole. So that's one step, right? The identification. The problem they want to solve is mitigating that contaminant before it gets to the treatment plant and does costly harm at the plant. So in order to do this, they need to understand the direction or where that contaminant is traveling, how fast it's moving, to know where, when, and where they can intercept it. So in order to do this, they need a digital twin of their connected network, which pipes is going through, what is the travel time based on distance and slope and other factors. And so without that connected digital twin, they really just have siloed real-time information about the manhole. So in a sense, the digital twin is really the backbone for digital transformation for water utilities. It's what brings together asset data, operational data, IoT, and analytics to provide location intelligence for the industry.
How common would you say these digital twins are? Is this something that just like the big water utilities that have a lot of resources have in place? Are you seeing them being put in at, you know, medium or smaller size utilities? What's going on out there?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's really a range, and there's not really a clear distinction between big and large. There's some, you know, large water utilities that are very mature in, you know, where they are and where they're going with the digital twin. And then there's some water utilities that you would just be big water utilities. You'd just be amazed at how far back they are on the maturity curve in this area. When you look at kind of the mid to smaller utilities, it's actually easier for them to move forward with a, you know, a digital twin and a digital transformation effort because of just the sheer size is less, right? The amount of network information and other asset information is less. There's, you know, traditionally or typically less kind of cultural, political things that are harder to overcome for a big organization. So it's easier for a smaller mid-sized utility to transform, but there's really kind of no clear distinction of, you know, one size is different than the other.
Yeah, that's a very interesting point, and makes a lot of sense that smaller or mid-size utilities could adopt something like this a little bit quicker or easier because of just the size factor. So, is there more you want to say about location intelligence? That's another interesting phrase here, and how that comes into play at a water utility.
Yeah, so location intelligence is maybe a newer term that you'll be seeing or you're hearing or people are hearing in the industry. So I'll start with saying that location intelligence and GIS are very synonymous, right? They both aim to gain insightful answers from spatial and non-spatial data relationships. Esri's been in the business of location intelligence in that regard for almost 50 years. Location intelligence is really maybe just a more trendy marketing type word for gaining insight from location information. But it's important to make sure that the industry understands that a GIS system does provide location intelligence, and it's really the core of what you need to actually generate and develop insight for location intelligence. So how that really applies to water utilities is, first, you can't really have location intelligence without knowing where the things are that you want to understand more about. This is why GIS is the system of record for water utility asset data. Second, location intelligence needs to be brought to the users of the water utility, primarily those in the field that are the core of how utilities operate and provide services. Which is why the importance of field applications is so critical. So in today's environment, leading utilities understand the importance of someone out in the field being able to, at the push of a button, so to speak, identify which valves to shut in order to very quickly isolate a catastrophic main break. So a sophisticated digital network, along with locations of crews, customers, and status of the system at the fingertips of the field worker, is location intelligence at its best in the field. And then the third piece of that is our customers analyze this rich system of record and system of engagement information to ascertain critical insights to know, you know, essentially how their system is performing and how their customers are being serviced. So Esri's in lockstep with how water utilities are wanting to get insightful answers fast. We've made it easier, faster, and less expensive to conduct sophisticated analysis on the plethora of spatial and non-spatial data that utilities have, and to be frank, are typically struggling with, right? They have more data than they know what to do with. So with new technologies that we have, such as Insights for ArcGIS or GeoAnalytics, our customers, and most importantly, the non-GS users in those organizations are analyzing their problems and finding answers in hours or days compared to weeks or months in the past with the advancement of, you know, the location intelligence concept and how quickly you can get to that point with data and tools that already exist within an organization.
All these new emerging terms, you know, location intelligence, digital twins, the digitization of water. it's the era we live in here. I'm curious about what types of data and analytics utilities are really gaining from their GIS systems right now.
Yeah, so the data, kind of taking that into what our customers are doing with it and moving it into analytics. I kind of like to break that down when I have that conversation into the Gartner analytical capability matrix. So in this context, data and data analytics moves from descriptive, what happened, to diagnostic, to what, from why did it happen, to predictive, to eventually prescriptive. And I think prescriptive part, we're not really there yet as an industry. The analytics for water utilities range from, you know, simple interrogation of the data to look at trends and patterns, such as the type, size, and age of pipe with respect to main breaks, for example, all the way to connecting their rich GIS information to machine learning libraries to predict which pipes will break when, and eventually to decision automation. So in its simplest form, many water utilities are gaining value from just seeing their breaks on a map and looking at a heat map. So this seems like very simplistic, and the capabilities have really existed for a long time, but you'd really be amazed at the number of utilities across the US, both big and small, that actually don't even have this. Beyond then just seeing information on a map and doing very simple analytics on it, next, water utilities move into analyzing which ones are the worst, looking at characteristics about their breaks, like being able to quickly normalize by size and material. Again, simple, but you'd be amazed at how many utilities don't know this. Water utilities start to enrich and overlay their information with other data sets, like soils, for example, to understand where, say, based on soil corrosivity, frequency is increasing. So now we're starting to move from the, you know, descriptive type of analytics to more of the diagnostic of why, you know, why there's a higher frequency of breaks in a certain area, for example. So moving from there, analyzing multiple factors now, utilities start to use space-time cubes to reveal patterns in a combination of frequency, time, and location, and use things like hot and cold spot analysis to zero in on statistical patterns. So I'm using breaks here a lot in these examples, but this could be really any sort of data set like service requests, complaints, work orders, or really any other spatially related data. In the statistical context, then utilities can also, literally at the click of the mouse, use correlation analysis to identify critical factors, which is now moving to prediction. Utilities are looking to AI and machine learning to help predict when and where breaks occur. So the challenge, though, you hear a lot about AI and machine learning in the industry today. The challenge is that you have to have enough data to actually conduct this type of analysis. Everybody wants to do it, but the reality is that relatively few actually have the data needed to do this type of higher-end sophisticated analysis. But that said, those that do are getting really good, precise predictions, and it's starting to transform how they are planning and executing their capital plans.
This has made me think about a question here and a little bit about the water workforce. And as we have this increasingly digital world and more digital tools in the workplace and in the water sector, I imagine that changes a little bit the types of skill sets that maybe utilities are looking for in workers, or even the types of jobs that they create. So there's fear of, oh, well, automation or machine learning or AI is going to take away from the workforce, but I guess it's a different type of worker that will be coming in to handle those systems.
Yeah, that's a really, you know, good question. And I think something that utilities are looking at and a bit struggling with. So, you know, a good example of, you know, discussion around this spring, I facilitated a roundtable discussion with a group of CFOs. And one of the core things that was discussed in this roundtable, and it was specifically related to analytics, was that the people that have the mindset to be able to take the traditional work and data going on at a utility are really not available in the utility, right? So they don't have the people that they can say, hey, now you're going to do data analysts, because they're you know, well into the traditional workflows and the way that they look at data and spreadsheets and other ways to take a step back and look at it. And so one is they're looking to define how they support analytics across the entire utility, meaning they can't assume that they're going to have an analytical person in planning and an analytical person in operations and analytical person in finance. They're starting to think about how to build kind of these centers of excellence that bring, you know, analysts together to actually support analysis across the entire organization. And then the second part is, you know, where do they find these people? You know, the kind of the term data scientist and that type of person, they're up and coming. You're starting to see other, you know, colleges and universities start to develop these folks, but there's still kind of a gap in, you know, a really good place to go find these people and find ones that actually want to come into a utility environment and do that type of work.
You mentioned meeting with CFOs, and so I'm just curious about how utilities use GIS for asset management, and in particular, how, you know, finance directors use GIS.
Yeah, it has been, I'd say, maybe a gap or an area where the use of GIS technology has been lacking. So there's just the, you know, the traditional depreciation models that have been in place and, you know, have not been looked at from a, you know, a pipe by pipe type of approach. And today, you know, one of the main issues that a lot of CFOs are interested in is affordability. And what's starting to maybe break loose there, open up, is the, you know, the understanding of how GIS, and in particularly the, you know, the rich demographic data sets that Esri now provides as part of the Living Atlas, to enrich their utility data, look at service areas, look at populations, look at, you know, all the characteristics of how their populations break down by different areas and by cost, and really start to use GIS technology today to help solve the, you know, affordability problem.
Very interesting. That's definitely a front and center issue in the water sector right now, and they're looking for any tools and ways to make progress on that. So that's interesting. I have a couple more questions here. One is just the idea of real-time data, and I'm just curious what's happening with that.
So I'd say there are primarily two areas where water utilities are gaining value from real-time data. The first is with their field operations. So understanding where people are, what they're doing, where they're going next is dramatically boosting productivity and enabling faster decision-making. So the ability for technology to automatically notify key staff of when there is a major issue or when a critical job is complete, for example, brings completely together the utility and helps it to operate more in sync, and then you can just imagine all the, you know, the productivity savings that come out of those notifications and everyone understanding what everyone else in the utility is doing, all the way from individuals understanding what other individuals are in the field are doing, all the way to people at customer service that are answering calls having that operational awareness of what's happening in the system. The second area I would say is really in the supply consumption type of work being done or information being provided or needed. And I would put this into two buckets. And the first is not to lose what's already in the pipe. And the second is getting people to use or waste less water in, you know, in the area of consumption. Probably the most important or the most valuable of those two is really is not very many have installed sensor networks to collect real-time data from their flow meters, their tanks, and their pump stations across a network that's been segmented by district meeting areas. So they layer the IoT data onto their existing GIS system. By doing this, they can instantly see where flow is exceeding normal use patterns in more smaller manageable areas. So they can then more easily trace that leak to a zone, right? It's easier to for them to find that leak, and they're able to do that now in hours compared to days or months in the past. So a good example of that is White House Utility District in Tennessee. They've been moving this direction and have created these district meter areas and have brought this technology together that's really helping them save. Over the last couple of years, they've literally saved millions of dollars, which is far exceeding the investment that they put into this, which is an expensive project to, you know, meter out your districts and put that infrastructure in place. But even with those costs, you're seeing a tremendous return on investment from those types of projects. It's been done extensively in Europe. The U.S. is behind on that, but you're starting to see those types of projects and those types of workflows and those technologies now being used here in the U.S.
Just a follow-up question there. You have a global water practice. So all this stuff we talked about here today, what's just kind of your assessment of where things are happening rapidly and maybe, just kind of a geographic picture, if you will?
Yeah, that's a good broad question. I think that, you know, that ranges on different technologies and workflows. You know, I'd say from a global perspective, from a technology standpoint, you see Europe and Australia, I'd say a little bit of ahead of the rest of the world. In the U.S., the maturity of GIS is probably the highest of anywhere. But then the integration with other more sophisticated components to, you know, maybe an intelligent system of real-time systems and integrations and other technologies combined with that is maybe not as far along maturity curve as in Europe and Australia. However, that said, there are, you know, very advanced utilities here in the U.S., New York City DEP and others. And if you look in different areas around Singapore PUB, very advanced. So it's hard to characterize one region versus the other. I think it's almost, you know, utility to utility.
Well, in closing, I want to just kind of get your take on what's next. So things are happening so fast when it comes to technology and innovation and our digital world. So what's around the corner?
Well, I'd say what's next for Esri in the water industry is we're really continuing to advance the science of wear for both traditional and up and coming issues, you know, like customer transparency, for example. So we're continuing to combine our tools and applications into comprehensive solutions that solve specific industry problems that can be deployed really in any customer environment, meaning these solutions can be deployed completely in the cloud. They can be deployed on a customer's on-premise environment, or more commonly, they're deployed in a hybrid approach. These solutions are, as I mentioned, solving, you know, specific industry problems, such as, you know, what do utilities do and how do they need to use technology and GIS when there's a water outage, for example. Next, we're really continuing to advance the science of analytics. That will include more and more core AI and machine learning tools within our ArcGIS technologies. We'll be creating easier, more direct connections with other machine learning libraries. And you'll see increased partners with other, you know, industry, or sorry, increased partnerships with other, you know, industry leading AI vendors. And then, you know, maybe to sum it up in the topics that we talked about in the area of IoT, will also be continuing to improve the ease of integration and use through advancing our own technologies. We'll be providing a full cloud-based solutions with analytics for IoT, and you'll also see more integration with industry-leading IoT vendors.
Yeah. Amazing, amazing stuff. Amazing times we're in here. I can't wait to share this with folks. Lots of good information. I really appreciate the time, David. And yeah, thank you so much for the chat.
All right. Well, thanks for having me, Travis. I enjoyed it.
Words.